Dear Christian friends, right now, I would like you to travel with me in your mind's eye to see what is happening both here on earth and all the way to heaven. This is Christmas Eve. This is a blessed time, a holy time, a time that is filled with warmth and love. And so right now, a people congregate in this room to worship the newborn Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, you know, we inhale the smell of the burning candles and the evergreens and the perfume, and we say, this is Christmas. Now, some are here, and they worship in true devotion to their Savior, Jesus Christ, and some are here out of tradition, and, you know, I would venture a guess to say that there may be some who are here tonight. And He sends His Holy Spirit and broods over our hearts that He might move all to joy and devotion and faith in Jesus Christ. And so right now, beyond the walls of this church, in some homes across our land, the red and green wrapping paper is being unceremoniously ripped from packages. It's a joyous moment for kids and adults, one of the happiest times of the year. And right now in New York, it's about 8:30. The stores are closed and locked to all of the tardy shoppers. Right now in London, it's 3:30 in the morning. In just a few hours, the first rays of Christmas Day will be dawning. Right now in Tokyo, it's Christmas morning. And the echoes of Christmas carols will soon die down for another year. But right now, beyond the confines of this world, in heaven, the eternal praises of God are swelling to a high crescendo. And the angels and the archangels and the mighty hosts of heaven who sparkle with holiness thunder a chorus that shakes even the rafters of heaven. They are shouting, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And of Jesus Christ, they are proclaiming, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and they are created." And right now, along with the eternal host of heaven, also stands the immortal souls of those who have died in the faith. And they feel the embrace of their Savior, Jesus Christ. And they stand before their God and they study His face and they are awed by its beauty. And they are filled with joy and they also shout the praises of Jesus Christ, who has saved them and has given them the eternal joy of heaven. You know, and right now I know that we may long for the presence of those who have departed from this earth, but they are filled with unspeakable joy. And those in heaven are asking God right now, "How long, O Lord, how long before You bring all of Your people home so that they also may see Your beauty?" But right now, back in this world, not all that is happening befits the beauty of Christmas. While we are cuddled here in this nice warm sanctuary with the people of God, there are hundreds, perhaps even thousands in this city who are homeless. And right now, the joys and sorrows of this life continue. Right now, babies are being born and people are closing their eyes and taking their last breath. Some have the hope of eternal life and others do not. And right now, Christmas for some is not a celebration at all. There might be the dull ache of the emptiness of Christmas without a dear one present, either because of death or estrangement or distance. And right now, the cemeteries hold the bodies of our fathers and mothers, of our grandfathers and our grandmothers in the cool earth, waiting for the day of resurrection. Their flesh draws and their clothes fade, but they are waiting for that wonderful victory when they shall rise again from death. And so right now, even on this Christmas Eve, there are needs. There are some who need relief from famine, some who need relief from pain, some who need relief from loneliness. There are some who need relief from regret and guilt. And for all, there is the need for the relief from sin and the need for victory over death. And so it's for these needs that we are gathered here today. Because our world has no end of problems, and so God sent the solution in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now we have a Savior. A Savior who is able to overcome the darkness of sin. He was born as a baby to a virgin. He was born in a barn and laid in a feed trough. And He took upon Himself our human flesh. While remaining true God, He also became true man and given the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so He's one of us. He wore our human flesh and He understands. He understands our sorrows. He understands our pain. He understands our fears. Because He didn't stay in a cradle. He eventually was hung on a cross. So right now, friends, consider, ponder the cradle and the cross. And when you lie them alongside each other, you won't see much contradiction. Yes, both constructed of wood, but their similarities do not stop there. They both are a symbol of God's willingness to humble Himself, yes, humiliate Himself for us and for all people. In the cradle, Jesus was there with the cows and the sheep. But on the cross, He hung as a criminal, as one who was beaten, as one who was humiliated. He was executed as a criminal among thieves for crimes He did not commit. On the cross, our sins were laid upon Him, so that whoever believes in this message should never perish, but have eternal life through their sins being laid on the cross of Jesus. And so right now, our Christ, who died on Good Friday, has come back to life. He lives and He always will. The stone that covered His tomb has now been blasted away. He is risen, and Christ has paid that debt for sin that we owed, and He is now raised to life to show His victory. So that means that right now, Jesus is able to fulfill your needs, whatever they may be. Because right now, Jesus is alive. His body, His person, His soul is alive in heaven. And His promises to you are still valid because He lives. Our bodies may die, but we have this promise that they too will be resurrected on that last day. And so right now, Christ holds out to everyone that offer of eternal life, that offer of forgiveness, because He took upon our flesh. He was able to substitute and pay for our sins, as the Bible says, "For God so loved the world, that He gave His one and only Son, so that whoever believes should not perish, but have eternal life." And this offer that Christ gives is for all people, from the greatest to the least. On the night of the birth of Jesus, His coming into the world was first announced to shepherds, who were the bottom rung of society in that day. But Christ offers them eternal life. Later, the star led the Magi, the wise men, to the side of Jesus. And these were men of renown, men of learning, who brought their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh to worship Jesus. And so even though they were strangers to the people of God, they found welcome at the feet of Jesus, and they too receive eternal life. God's kingdom is for all. So right now, at this very moment, Jesus offers that forgiveness and life to you. Galatians 4, you see, at just the right time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. And so that was the right time when Christ came into the world. And so now is the right time for you, not another day, not another hour, but at this very moment. Because you and me and all people, we've broken God's laws. But right now, He offers redemption through His Son. And the Holy Spirit is whispering into your ear. What do you think about this God who is lying in a manger? He is mighty and holy, but He loves you. And because He loved you, He went from being the ruler of the universe, whose might and power lit the fires of countless stars, to being a baby, a child, who couldn't walk or talk or even hold his head up. And someone had to even change his diapers. How He came down. But yet He did that so that at this very hour, the Holy Spirit could tug at our heartstrings, and say, love this Christ who has loved you. Trust in this one who lays in a manger, but who has redeemed you. So right now, if you're lonely, the presence of Christ fills the world. He is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Do you have regret or guilt? This Christ speaks of peace and forgiveness. This Christ comes humbly. He knows our need for reconciliation, and He offers it to us freely without cost. Christ came into this imperfect world for you. So right now, there's just one more question to ask. And maybe you can kind of hear the creak of heaven, because rank upon rank of angels and archangels are looking over the edge to see what your answer might be. The question, will you live for Christ? Being a follower of Christ may not be easy at times. Bold witnesses may face persecution. Will you live for Christ? And follow Him not only tonight, but every day of your life, to follow His way, to follow His path? Well, if you have doubts that would be a good idea, that you should serve this one, then look into the cradle another time. And look into the eyes of that perfect, sinless baby. And if, as you look into His eyes, maybe you can even see eternity. But I know that you can see His love. Are there still doubts in your mind? Then look up and gaze into the eyes of Christ as He's hanging on the cross, and stand close enough to catch a drop of blood in His hands. Can you follow Him? Can you see that He has opened eternity for you? In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in this true faith to life eternal. Amen.